This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. My dear respected brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So we have been speaking up to now about the different aspects of coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we had spoke in the previous lesson about some of the sayings of the righteous people with regards to the concept of niyyah and intention and ikhlas. And this book, Bustan al-Arifin by Imam Nawawi, so he tries to mention different aspects of sayings which will be beneficial. And he mentioned last time the saying regarded to Ahmad ibn al-Hawari, and he was speaking about how one of the righteous people, Abdurrahman ibn al-Aswad, he always used to, or never used to, eat the bread except with an intention. And so he carries on now with the same narration related to Ahmad ibn Abi al-Hawari, where he says that Ahmad says, Sami'tu Aba Sulayman, يعني الداراني رحمه الله تعالى يقول عامل الله بقلوبكم وصفوها وهذبوها ولا تخفوا شيئا من الأعمال الظاهرة. So Imam Nawawi just likes to, as is the usual aspect of the people of hadith, to clarify. Sometimes there are certain things which might need to be clarified in terms of names and so on. So here he just points out that the word al-Darani, or where is this Shaykh al-Darani from? And he said that Darani is either can be read as al-Darani, or it can be read as al-Darai, because they are both linked to the city of Daria. And that is in a city or a village near Dimashq. And so that's where Abu Sulayman al-Darani is from. And Abu Sulayman is saying here that in line with the whole theme of the topic, which is about how a person should deal with his heart, look at his heart, purify the heart, which is obviously the place where the intention and also the ikhlas, the sincerity, will be there. So he's saying, when you deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your hearts, that should be the ultimate goal, if you like, that you should always be clear, your intention should be pure. When you are dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, think about how your heart is, because that is what you need to purify. That's what you need to correct. And safuha, purify it. Make sure that it is correct. And not only that, but try to tame it as well. Because the heart, like any other limb, may try to go here and there. And then he mentions the general theme which we have been speaking about before, is that a person who is more aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is not going to be aware of others. Yeah, and he's not concerned about what others think or what they are, what their attitude is. So that's why he said, وَلَا تُخْفُوا شَيْئًا مِنْ الْأَعْمَالِ الظَّاهِرَةِ. You're doing something apparent, you don't need to hide it from people. Because end of the day, your intention should be that you're doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it shouldn't make a difference in your perspective whether people see it or not, and whether people are aware of it or not, because you are doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you're not, it's not like trying to hide away from people so you don't want people to see it. Because if you do that, there is an aspect of where you are almost taking people into consideration. You're thinking about people in your actions. And that could be a problem in itself. Imam Nawawi also tells us a little bit about Abu Sulaiman. He said that Abu Sulaiman was one of the high status people who are aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has many karamat, which are gifts from Allah, which were outward. And he also has very wise sayings. His name is Abdul Rahman ibn Ahmed ibn Atiyah. And he said, in the future, we will talk a lot about him and mention some of his things. And he was one of the people who was from our city. He says he is from our city, Dimashq, and that which is around it, radiyallahu anhu. Now, some of the ulama, you find sometimes they have this kind of, there is a small aspect of almost like patriotism or nationalism. So when they are associated with a certain city, they usually try to mention a lot of the people related to their city. So an Imam Nawawi is from that area of Asham. So obviously any of the ulama that are from that area, he would try to promote them more. Not out of specificity to that person, but more in favor of showing that, you know, this area is good, it's full of scholars, it's full of righteous people. And you see that also happening with Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah as well, who also is from Asham, and you see how he also gives preferences to, and one of the strange things is in regards to the middle of Sha'ban, the night of middle of Sha'ban, which there is a hadith, which is a sound hadith, which indicates that there is a virtue related to it. But there wasn't really any mention from the Prophet ﷺ about a specific ibadah to do in this night, or a specific act, or what to say or what to read. But there is a reference to it. Now, some people took that as a reference, as a reason for the virtue of the night of Sha'ban. Now, Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, being quite a sort of quite literalist and very strict in this, he considered that this was a bid'ah and it wasn't really appropriate, etc. But at the same time, he was aware that the people who had revived this practice of Ihya Laylat Nisf min Sha'ban were actually people from Dimashq and people from Asham. So in one way, when he came to talk about it, he almost gave them a way out to say, some people, if somebody did it with the right intention, then maybe it's not as bad as we can say it is. And that shows you that there was almost like a kind of leniency towards the people of Asham. So Abu Sulaiman al-Darani or al-Dara'i, he also said, as Imam Nawawi narrates, ما أدرك من أدرك بكثرة صلاة ولا صوم ولكن بسخاء النفس وسلامة الصدر والنصح للأمة. And this is really a very important few words, which sometimes may solve for us many problems. And that is, he's saying that the people who have reached the stations or the levels that they have reached, they didn't reach this with extensive amount of salah or fasting. So these ibadat which people do and practice, but rather it is more to do with the inner self. It's about how generous their self is and how their hearts were pure towards others. You know, so they weren't people who hold grudges, they weren't people who had enmity towards others. And they had a nusuh lil ummah. And nusuh, from the meanings of nusuh, is that they were sincere to the ummah, other people. They wanted the good for others. Whenever they saw an aspect where they can help others, they would help them. If they could, if they knew that there was an issue that needed solving, they would give their advice and so on and so on. Without obviously being nosy or interfering, but they would help as much. This is a kind of nasiha. You know, you see somebody struggling with something, you go and offer your support or your help. You need to see somebody who might be in some sort of need. Again, you offer your help. That's the kind of nasiha al-umma. Nasiha doesn't mean that you just go around giving advice to people and just saying, oh, you know, fear Allah, do this, stop praying, stop doing that. Yeah, it's not like that kind of nasiha. Nasiha is more like sincerity. And we know from Salamatu Sadr, we all know about the Sahabi, who the Prophet ﷺ said that there is a man who will come to you who is from, he will appear and he will be from the people of Al-Jannah. We all know that hadith. And when one of the Sahaba, Abdullah ibn Amr, went and stayed with him to find out what kind of ibadah he does, what kind of things, he found that he wasn't doing much. The only thing that he then confessed to Abdullah was that whenever I go to sleep, I relieve myself of any grudges. I forgive anyone who has harmed me. I don't leave any grudges in my sight. And you see, that in itself was why the Prophet ﷺ said this is a man from Al-Jannah. So further on, you can understand therefore that it's the inner self, it's the qalb, it's the inside which is important to purify and to clean and to tame. If you do that, you will reach so much levels. And there is a narration as well, a tradition which I'm not sure of its authenticity, but there is a tradition that also says the same with regards to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that Abu Bakr did not reach where he reached because of his excessive salah or sadaqah or so on, but it was something that was stable in his heart. You know, this yaqeen, this iman, this tasdeeq, which was stable in his heart, which made him reach the status of where he reached. So therefore, that in itself should now make you understand that the reality of where your focus should be is on cleaning and cleansing your heart. He goes on to say, وَقَالَ إِمَامُنَا الشَّافِعِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَقْضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى لَهُ بِالْخَيْرِ فَلْيُحْسِنَ الظَّنَّ بِالنَّاسِ. Whoever wants that Allah would give him and determine for him good things, then he should have good suspicion, or he should think well of people. And don't always, that's where his words end. The meaning of this means, have again a pure heart, a clean heart towards others. Don't always suspect ill of others. Don't injure others. Don't always think that people are, you know, always, you know, almost like a negative person. Always looking at the faults and the negativity, and always interpreting actions in a negative way. You know, that why is that person looking at me like this? Why is his hand, in his pocket? Why did he smile? Why is he talking to this guy? They must be talking about me, and things like that. Always, that is a kind of bad intention towards others. So having that is also a problem in your heart. And Imam Shafi'i is basically saying that, you know, if you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to deal with you well, then you should start to cleanse yourself from this su'ad dhan. Don't have bad suspicion of others. Always have good suspicion. Always think good of people. And we have in this regards, you know, the saying of Isa radiallahu anhu, when he saw a man stealing, and he said to him, are you stealing? And the guy was taking something, and he said to him, are you stealing? So the guy said, la walladhi la ilaha illa hu. He said, no, by Allah, there is no God except him. So Isa said, kadhabtu basari wa amantu billah. Yeah, I believe in Allah, I deny my sight. I mean, my sight is new, but I'm gonna say my sight is lying, because he swore by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I believe in Allah. So that's almost like also an example of, you know, good suspicion in regards to people. And that's why even, you know, when you look at some of the ahkam of Islam in terms of some of the punishments and the penal codes, there's always consideration, a large consideration in this aspect is always to push away any doubt, any misconceptions. You know, if somebody, if there's any doubt about an issue, if there's not clear, you know, punishments do not fall on people, or penalties, if there is any doubt about a matter, has to be clear cut, can't be. And that is one example there. If somebody denies something, you can't force them to say otherwise. Then Imam al-Shafi'i talks in his narration, and he mentions his isnad with regards to one of the ahadith. I don't think there's any benefit in mentioning the full isnad here, but he says that Abu Hatim, Muhammad ibn Idris says, سَمِعْتُ أَبَا قُبَيْصَةَ يَقُولُ رَأَيْتُ سُفْيَانَ الثَّوْرِي فِي الْمَنَامِ. So here he's mentioning the chain of narration, and he's saying that this chain of narration, the narrator says that he saw Sufyan al-Thawri in a dream. So when he, obviously meaning after he passed away. So I said to Sufyan, مَا فَعَلَ اللَّهُ بِكُ. What has Allah done with you? Yani what have you attained? So so he said, Sufyan reads this poetry and respond to that. He said, نَظَرْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي كِفَاحًا فَقَالَ لِي هَنِيئًا رِضَائِ عَنْكَ يَا ابْنَ سَعِيدٍ لَقَدْ كُنْتَ قَوَّامًا إِذَا أَظْلَمَ الدُّجَى بِعَبْرَةِ مُشْتَاقٍ وَقَلْبِ عَمِيدٍ فَدُونَكَ فَاخْتَرْ أَيَّ قَصْرٍ أَرَدْتَهُ وَزُرْنِي فَإِنِّي مِنْكَ غَيْرُ بَعِيدٍ. So this narration that Imam Nawawi states, which is about Sufyan al-Thawri, what he was seen in a dream, and when he was asked, so he said, this man asked him, what has happened to you? So he said, as singing in a form of poetry, he said, I look to my Lord without any veil. And he said to me, congratulations to you, Ibn Sa'id, which was the name of Sufyan. Congratulations to you for my pleasure, that I am pleased with you. You were somebody who used to stand very often when the night would fall, and you would have tears in your eyes of someone who is anxious to meet, mushtaq, and you are anxious to meet obviously Allah, and someone who had a heart that was pure and longing. So choose whatever palace you want and visit me, because I am not far from you. Now we need to know a little bit about who Sufyan al-Thawri is, because obviously that will give us a little bit more understanding of why he would say such a thing, or why he would be treated in such a thing. Sufyan al-Thawri was someone who was his name Thawr, because he was from Bani Thawr. And Bani Thawr are from the Arabs, from Ibn Abd Manaf. They go back to Mudhar and so on. And he is basically someone who was present during the time of, and he was in the first generation. He was born in the year 97, and he was born in Al-Kufa. So he was an Iraqi. And Iraq, and he lived most of his life there, and then he left it when the Abbasids took control, Abu Ja'far al-Mansur, because he wanted to force him to become the judge. So he decided to leave, and he went then started to go, you know, between Medina and Mecca and so on. His mother was very righteous. She was a righteous woman who said to him, my son, you go and seek knowledge and I will look after your income. I will knit and I will sell and I will pay for your expenses. You just go and learn and dedicate yourself to the knowledge. And also it's narrated that she said to him, to Sufyan, my son, when you write 10 letters or so, look at yourself and reassess yourself. Have you changed in any way? Do you feel more arrogant? Do you feel maybe more closer to Allah? How do you see yourself? And if you feel that you're not changing in any way, then that you should know that this is not going to harm you or benefit you. And Sufyan was one of those people who was very, not only was he very pious and righteous, but he was also very knowledgeable, and one of the people who really, he should have had a school. You know, we have a school, Malikis and Hanafis, and he, Thawri was a school in himself. But he didn't have any students who really preserved his madhab. So he ended up with, then there was no, his, all his opinions and things got dispersed amongst others. Imam al-Nawawi, Imam Malik has a very nice thing which he said in regards to Sufyan. He said, before, كانت العراق تجيش علينا بالدينار والدرهم. Iraq used to send us, يعني, to Medina, used to send us lots of money, يعني, gold and silver. حتى جاء سفيان فأصبحت تجيش علينا بالعلم. Until Sufyan came and started to send us knowledge, يعني. Not only now dinar, but knowledge. And this is like a praise from Imam Malik for Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah. And he has many sayings, many obviously aspects of the fiqh which we can go back to. So when he died, this is what he was reported to have said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him directly and he congratulated him on attaining his pleasure from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the point why Imam An-Nawawi narrates it here is the point to say to him that his heart was a longing heart. It was a pure heart. It wanted to meet Allah. It was anticipating the link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam An-Nawawi also in his book here mentions some of the words, you know, because some of the ulama, he mentions them, and he just corrects the linguistics of who these are. I don't think there's a need for us to go into those names, because it's more or less just for and it's more for people who are concerned with the actual wordings and the names of how they are mentioned. But Imam Nawawi does explain this word, as I mentioned, Amid, which is somebody who is longing, loving, sincere, truthful in his love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after that, Imam Nawawi mentions another narration. Here, this narration is from Yahya ibn Mu'adh al-Razi. Again, he mentions his isnad to it. And he says, Yahya says, كم من مستغفر ممقوت وساكت مرحوم. How many of a person who makes istighfar, but they are rejected and despised? And how many of people who are silent, meaning they're not making istighfar, but they are shown mercy? And what does this mean? It's basically explained by the fact that a person might be saying astaghfirullah on his tongue, but his heart is corrupt. And somebody might not saying astaghfirullah, but his heart is in remembrance of Allah. So it is the action of the tongue and seeking that cannot be opposite to what's in the heart. And that's why we spoke about siddiq before. We said about the truthfulness is when your actions are internally and externally are aligned. So you have to be careful in that you might be doing acts which might seem that they are good, but if your heart is opposite or in contrast to this, then actually it might be a burden on you, jazakallah khair, a burden on you rather than something which you will be rewarded for. And that's why Imam Ghazali has a saying similar in this regards. He said that how many a person might be prostrating himself before Allah, but he is committing a sin which, if it were to be, if the punishment of that sin were to be brought down on a village, it would have destroyed them. So he's praying and he's in sujood, but he's also in a state of sin that he, if that sin were to be punished for, he would destroy. And the people, the ilm, they explain this, that what he meant here was that sometimes a person is in salah, and the default position of a person in salah should be that they are focused on Allah, that they are worshipping Allah, that they are attending to Allah. They are prostrating. In fact, that's the closest that they are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they're prostration. But this person, when he's in sujood, rather than being focused on the hal, the situation where he is in, he is thinking about something else. He is probably in admiration of something else. So he is completely unattentive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in a way, what Imam Al-Ghazali says is a form of mockery, that a person is mocking with his salah, because his salah is not only is it not directed, it's not like he's just distracted, but he's actually, his attention is somewhere else. He's, and it's almost like an ibadah of something else. He says then, حدثنا أبو الحسن الواعظ قال من خرج إلى العلم يريد العمل به نفعه قليل العلم. والعلم موقوف على, في رواية العلم الموقوف على العمل به. قلت يعني العلم النافع المطلوب كما قال إمامنا الشافعي رضي الله عنه ليس العلم ما حفظ إنما العلم ما نفع. Abu al-Hasan al-Wa'id, another one of the righteous people, he said in his contribution to this, من خرج إلى العلم يريد العمل به نفعه قليل العلم. Again, this is all within the whole concept of intention and purifying. If you go towards knowledge and seeking knowledge, and you sit in the gatherings of knowledge, you sit hearing, intending to benefit from this knowledge and to transfer this knowledge into action so that you can work on it, then even small aspects of knowledge will be beneficial to you. So there is that link of the intention of why you are sitting here. And all of you can now, you are sitting here intending to learn something. So the question that you need to ask yourself, why am I sitting here? What is the purpose of my listening to these words? And I hope, inshallah, that, you know, we've had a few lessons now. For me, it's also been very beneficial, because just me reminding myself and you with these lessons, it has really helped me to focus more on the intention. So a person should now be more focused on every aspect of his life. Whenever he's doing even small acts in his life, thinking, why am I doing this? And what? How can I make the intention to make this for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Whether it's as basic as putting your head on the pillow and before you go to sleep, making that intention there, or whether it's when you're eating, or whether even if it's, you know, checking your messages on your phone or whatever, if you think about the intention and try to make the intention good, then you will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I think this is an important practice in all that. And today we've also spoken about other things which, again, we can work on. Like we spoke about what? We spoke about the chest and the heart being clear and pure, not having any grudges towards anyone, not thinking ill about anyone, not suspecting badly of one, not having negative thoughts. This is something that you can work on as well. There's very few of us here who don't have grudges, or maybe have had some sort of altercation with somebody, or maybe annoyed by somebody or whatever. Can we get over this? Yeah, and can we actually try to make an amends and try to correct that and try to purify? Because that's what's important. And then he went on to say that Abu Abdullah ibn Ata, he said that al-ilmu mawqufun ala al-amal bih, that the benefit of the knowledge is withheld depending on whether a person acts on it or not. And here he mentions the saying of Imam Shafi'i, لَيْسَ الْعِلْمُ مَا حُفِظْ إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ مَا نَفَعْ, that the real knowledge, and this, subhanAllah, when you look at the sayings of the people of the past, you will see a lot of people, that was their understanding of ilm. The ilm that they understood was not just information. It wasn't just things to memorize or things to learn, but ilm was, it was almost like intricately part of knowledge. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, and this was narrated by Hudhayfa and I think Abu Dharr. He said, shall I not tell you of the first ilm? أَوَّلُ عِلْمٍ يُرْفَعُ. The first knowledge that will be raised from amongst the people. What do you think that ilm is? You might have heard the hadith before. No. No. Al-khushu', which is the humility and the humbleness in salah, the focus in salah. So you see in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ named al-khushu', which is an action of the heart, isn't it? And it's the focus is actually a ilm. It's a not because it's a benefit that comes from that understanding, and so on. So this is the understanding of the Sahaba and so on. So your knowledge isn't just something that you learn and literally and you memorize, but it's something that has the extent into your work and your practice. So there is no point of learning words and how many people memorize the Quran, as the saying of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, how many people memorize the Quran and the Quran is cursing them? وَكَمْ مِنْ قَارِئٍ لِلْقُرْآنِ وَالْقُرْآنُ يَلْعَنُهُ. Why is the Quran cursing them? Because they read the Quran, they remember, but they don't practice the Quran. And in the Quran, there are verses which saying, do this, don't do this, don't. And he's not paying attention to it. So what's the point of memorizing the Quran if you're not acting on it? And that is the point here that is needed to be addressed.
What about the Ajami?
Huh?
The Ajami, he doesn't understand the Quran. He just memorizes. How about that?
So that's why any person, whether he's Ajami or Arabi, he needs to understand the Quran and has to exercise his effort to learn. Okay? And that is priority. That is priority. Why is it priority? Because this is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the only remaining unaltered, unedited, unadulterated words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the other words have been corrupted. So you have the words from Allah. And if don't you want to give the words of Allah your utmost attention? And so you should. And that's why again Imam Shafi'i in another say, he said, يَجِبُ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ أَنْ يَتَعَلَّمَ اللُّغَةَ الْعَرَبِيَّ مَا تَبْلُغُ بِهِ جُهْدُهُ وَمَا يَبْلُغُ بِهِ جُهْدُهُ. Every Muslim should learn the Arabic language as much as his effort can take him. And you have to strive your effort. Okay, you might not be able to learn fully, but put your effort as much as you can. And similarly, if you're Quran, you should put as much effort into understanding what you are reading, because this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. So the Quran was not sent down to be memorized in the hearts just like that. It was sent down to be practiced, to be understood and to be practiced. And that's why the ulama in the past, when they used to say somebody is qari', today we say qari', qari' fulan, qari'. Qari' means that he just knows how to read Quran. Okay? But the qari's of the past, you know, the hadith we have, when the Prophet ﷺ was upset, he was really upset when he sent 70 of the qurra', he sent them to a village to go and teach them, not just Quran, but to teach them Islam. And they were called the qurra', the 70 of the qurra'. And those villages, they were traitors. They betrayed the Prophet ﷺ, and they killed all those 70. So these were qurra', not that they just knew how to read Quran. These were fuqaha, meaning they understood the Quran and they knew how to practice the Quran. And so in the past, the methodology of learning the Quran was learning the Quran and the practice. And the famous notion of the ulama of the past, I mean the sahaba especially, they used to take 10 verses at a time. So we should take 10 verses, we would learn how to read them, we would memorize them, we would then go away and practice them, and then we would move on to the next 10. So we wouldn't move on to the next 10 if we hadn't learned and memorized and practiced. So they said, تَعَلَّمْنَا الْعِلْمَ وَالْعَمَلِ. We took ilm and amal together. And that's why in the tradition as well, Umar ibn al-Khattab, he took 9 years to memorize Surah Al-Baqarah. 9 years, because, you know, taking it in a way, understand, practice, and move on. Not just take it and then not... So it has to be, we have to put that effort in. I'll end with this last saying, which is related to somebody called Qasim Al-Ju'i. Qasim Al-Ju'i. And his name is Al-Ju'i. And also, Nawawi says, هذا قاسم الجوعي له كرامات. He has, again, gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. And they said maybe it's related because he is... يعني الجوعي من الجوع يعني he used to be hungry. He used to stay hungry for a long time, so they called him الجوعي. So قاسم الجوعي, he just basically said two words. الدين الورع. الدين الورع. دين is piety, and by piety meaning here to abstain from things fearing that you will fall into doubt or into haram, whatever. Wara is when you leave halal things in fear that you might fall into haram. So it's been putting a border between you and haram. You know, it's anything that might have any aspect of doubt, any suspicion, you stay away from it because you don't want to. You want to keep that border away from haram. This is wara. So deen is wara. And what does that mean? That means your basis of your deen is how do you distance yourself from anything that potentially can harm you. And that again goes back to the heart, because it's a practice of the heart. You see, it's not actions. And this is the whole point of what Imam Nawawi is trying to say to you, is that the focus has to be on the heart. And so he translates this to say, فَأَفْضَلُ الْعِبَادَةِ, the best ibadah, مُكَابَدَةُ اللَّيْلِ, the best ibadah is to struggle during the night, meaning to get up and so on. And the best path to al-jannah is سَلَامَةُ الصَّدَرِ. The best path to jannah is to clear your heart and your chest. Free it from all the grudges, from the hatred, from badness, all that, clean that in. That is the best way for al-jannah. No actions is involved here. No physical actions, no hunger, no nothing. It's about here, working on site here. So as you can see from these few narrations, the focus of Imam Nawawi is trying to remind us is that the path of those who are aware, al-arifin, those who are going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is focused on them being concerned with their inner, with their heart, correcting their heart, cleaning their heart, purifying their heart, taming their heart, and getting rid of all those aspects. Because if you think about it, it's a very simple equation. What is the equation? The equation is, if you want the light of the Quran, the light of Islam, the light of the understanding that comes with knowing Allah, how are you going to get this light if your heart is dirty and your heart is concealed? وَجَعَلْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ أَكِنَّةٍ, they are in bags, they are sealed. قَالُوا بَلْ قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٍ, and other things, and your heart is dark, nothing's going to get in. So you have to get rid of these bags that are holding back heart. You have to clean the heart from all the blackness, and all the darkness becomes a clean heart. When it becomes clean, it can see the light. The Quran can be understood. The meanings can be reflected. Your personality, your practice, all that will change if the heart is good. Jazakumullah khair. Does anybody have any questions or comments they would like to make?